Good morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, Finn at OffbeatOregon.com, and this is the Offbeat Oregon History Podcast. Thank you for loading me down and queuing me up, and I hope you enjoy this show. This is a story about a massive mud puddle, a giant lake, just basically from rainwater, dripping into a low spot on the high desert. A dry year caused it to dry up. And the following year, the pioneers were staring bewildered at tracks that led straight into the middle of a lake so big they couldn't even see the other side. The story was first published on April 12th of 2009. It's one of the very earliest ones of these. Here we go. The emigrants coming west on the Applegate Trail in the 1870s were puzzled. The trail was, of course, a seemingly unending set of wagon wheel ruts stretching from the jumping-off points in the Midwest over deserts and mountains and all sorts of obstacles that seemed insurmountable but weren't. But this one? This one was different. Had the wagons before them really plunged directly into the enormous lake that lay before them? The ruts led directly into the water, and there was no sign of them having come out again. It was miles across. The other side lay almost invisible on the horizon, much too far to float a caulked wagon. And yes, it was deep, far too deep to ford. There was nothing for it but a trip around the lake, since the western sky lay on the other side, and so around they went, making a detour of something like 100 miles. On the other side, they found the wagon ruts again. They emerged from the water and headed on westward toward the Cascades. Once arrived at the West Coast, none of the previous emigrants knew anything about any lake there. It remained a mystery until several years later a drought struck and the lake dried up again. Today the lake is back. It's now known as Goose Lake. It's an arrowhead-shaped patch of water straddling the Oregon-California state line just south of Lakeview at an elevation of 4,700 feet. There is a campground and park there at Goose Lake State Recreation Area, which is on the east side of the lake. It has hot showers, something those puzzled emigrants 140 years ago would likely have enjoyed. But don't bother trying to reserve a campsite on the internet. The place is so far away from everything. Nearly 400 miles from both Portland and San Francisco, 282 from Eugene, 300 from Baker City, 190 from Medford. Well, the campers just don't have to worry about the place filling up. Like hundreds of other high desert lakes, large and small in the area, it drains nowhere. It's largely filled by rainwater. The area gets about 10 inches a year, and it sits there baking in the summer sun until all that water is evaporated away. So it's basically Oregon's largest mud puddle. The boat launch ramp at the park is something of a joke. Boaters basically have to carry their vessels out to wherever the water happens to be on any given day, and it's almost never at the ramp. It's also a magnificent place to go experience the great waterfowl migration. Mid-April is the best time to do it. Goose Lake is on the flyway. Millions of geese, ducks, and other migratory birds blacken the sky there every spring and fall. For a high desert destination, the place is astonishingly green, perhaps thanks to springs that help feed the lake. Recently, Goose Lake has been shrinking. The springs and creeks that help the rain feed it have been diverted for irrigation. Never particularly fresh to start with, the lake has been getting saltier too, which is starting to stress the fish populations that somehow managed to still be there despite its periodic dryings up. In the surrounding countryside, you can still see the abandoned shells of sodbusters' cabins from the turn of the 20th century. These shells are the skeletal remains of settlers' dreams, homes of folks who fell for land swindlers' claims that rain follows the plow, that once a fellow had gouged up the land and sprinkled some wheat grains on it, the skies would open up and the 20 inches or so of rain a year that are needed for dryland farming would appear. This worked out just about as well as you might expect it would. Today you'll see very few farms in the high desert country, and those you'll see are irrigated. Well, that's our show for today. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. In addition to this podcast, it includes a weekly newspaper column, a series of live history shows, a daily RSS feed to catch in your smartphone newsreader, a Facebook page, and a couple other minor components too, YouTube channel, that kind of thing. Photographs and other visual goodies that go with today's show are on offbeatoregon.com, where you will also find full citations to the sources for this story. The podcast is covered under a Creative Commons license. For details of that, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. Our theme music is an Atlas String Band track, atlasstringband.com, and it was written by Carmen Ficarra. I do offbeat Oregon history for the fun of it and to learn things. So I don't sell advertising and I don't ask for donations. But if you do enjoy offbeat Oregon history and you'd like to support it, you can always pick up a copy of my book. If you enjoy the show, I can pretty much guarantee that you'll enjoy my book. It's called Wicked Portland. It's published by the History Press in 2012, and you can pick a copy up at a community bookstore near you, or you can order a signed copy from the store link at offbeatoregon.com. The book sells for $20. Finally, if you ever happen to be in Corvallis, drop me a line. We can grab a cup of coffee and talk about history. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com, or you can tweet at me, @offbeatoregon. Our next show will be coming up at around 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. And until then, go and fill up the rest of today with good stuff. Bye now.